Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Many South Dakota farmers and producers want to sell directly to consumers as part of their business model. Many South Dakota consumers want to source at least some of their food supply directly from local producers. And as we saw in 2020, consolidation in meat packing has created weaknesses in the supply chain that can cause shortages nationwide. Governor Kristi Noem has proposed $5 million in meat processing grants to help address this issue. And to help us better understand the issue and how grants might help mitigate problems, we welcome Hunter Roberts. He is the South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture and Natural Resources. Secretary Roberts, welcome back to In the Moment. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me, Lori. Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Excited to be on here talking about our proposal.
I'm giving myself a full week to say Happy New Year to everybody because
That's
2020
fine.
Is over.
Everyone this year is ready for a Happy New Year and a different year. So,
all right. But of course, we can't fully understand this conversation without going back a little over a year when we saw, I think most South Dakotans remember, the temporary closure of Smithfield and the ripple effects of that. Explain the problem from your vantage point with producing and packing in the state.
Well, I think through the pandemic, it became very clear that tying all of our resources to just a few packers that are very efficient and get a lot of production done creates some issues sometimes. It's kind of putting all your eggs in one basket. Certainly, having a little diversity of processing facilities across the state creates opportunities. Through the pandemic, I think with the tough issues at Smithfield and just meat processing in general, I think we created kind of an opportunity. I think people saw their grocery stores shelves close. They saw $7 plus hamburger, some price spikes out there, and they realized, hey, why wouldn't I go talk to a local producer who I know where that beef is raised? I know who the person is raising it, or that pork, or those chickens, or those turkeys. Why not reach out to them and see if I can buy directly, have that source where it comes from? So I think it was a very tragic issue for a lot of producers, volatile times for processors. But in the end, it created, I think, an opportunity. Of course, meeting that opportunity has been a very big challenge because you talk to our processors, our local processors, they're not geared up to ramp up very quickly for some of the numbers they've been dealing with. So it created an issue, but I think also an opportunity. And with this proposal, I think it creates additional opportunity for the processors and the citizens of the state to further vet and to further utilize our local processors. Additionally, it creates opportunity for our producers to have another place to sell their products.
Yeah. So local producers, South Dakota producers, have been speaking out about this problem for some time. So for them, many of them were not surprised to, and it maybe was even, I don't want to use the word validating because nobody wanted that to happen. But in some ways, they said, this is what we feared could happen. This is what we've been talking about for some time. Does that ring true to you, first of all? And then does that also mean that we were quicker or swifter to move toward potential solutions because there were so many people in South Dakota who recognized the problem and were not necessarily shocked by it?
Well, I mean, market consolidation's been an issue. It's been happening for decades. Certainly, I think there are issues there. You look at Representative Dusty Johnson and several other U.S. legislators across the nation. Certainly, those consolidations are very important to them, and they've proposed legislation to address that and create some more market transparency. So I think that's important. I also think that kind of what we're proposing in this niche market, I think, is something that's very real, very tangible, and something that we can get done in South Dakota, stand alone without help from other states or an act of Congress. So I think this is a very tangible thing that's going to give our meat processors and a little boost to serve more product and hopefully expand their facility to become more efficient and process more of our meat products.
All right, let's talk about the grants. Governor Noem proposed $5 million in processing grants. How does the program work as she has proposed it?
Okay, what we're looking at is in South Dakota, we have 84 state-licensed meat facilities and 18 federally inspected plants. What we're looking at is, providing grants to those type of folks, the smaller ones, the Smithfields, $5 million, probably the entire program where I wouldn't go a long way. So we're not really looking at considering them. What we're looking at is those smaller type of processors, anything from, 60 employees or less is kind of what we've outlined. So we think probably efficiency-wise, a lot of coolers and freezers, some improvement in sanitation systems, drainage, venting, things like that, temporary cold storage, equipment, processing equipment like smoking units, sausage stuffers, portion cutters, slaughter equipment, things of that nature, equipment to accommodate holding more livestock, things like that is what we're thinking. They're not long-term type processes. That being said, we think this would be a quick hitter for a lot of our existing meat processors. And then we're looking at reserving a portion of the funding for some new processing plants or substantial expansions. So I guess the department's hope is, assuming we get approved by the legislature, is to push a bunch of this money out to our existing processors very quickly, and then maybe retain a little bit of it for the new processors or substantial expansions, so we, can facilitate those improvements to our processing capacity as well.
So a couple things I want to talk about regarding the Secretary Roberts, and one is, remaining competitive. So, now that Smithfield is online, of course, if you invest in expanding, if you're a smaller processor and you invest in some expansion, are you going to be competitive long term? Or is this a short term, get through the back, the backlog of people waiting? How do you sort of see that for some folks who are making expansion decisions?
That's a great question. I think realistically that they're kind of different markets. A lot of times, that farm to table type discussion, that direct sale, you kind of cut out the middleman. You don't have the marketing. You don't have the large transportation cost. You don't have similar type profits. I think that they compete in the same market, but also they're kind of different. I think time and again, we've seen that local producers working with local processors that are able to access local consumers, that they can make that model work. And certainly there's plenty of margins for everyone to be successful on that with that direct supply chain model.
Yeah. You also mentioned, I'm sorry, help me if I got this wrong, but 84 state licensed facilities and 18 federally inspected plants. Do I have those numbers right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So about inspections, then let's talk about USDA inspections and how exactly, help us understand how that works and if that's relevant in this conversation, especially when we talk about people selling through this model over state lines.
Oh, that's a good question. So once I came on board, the Department of Ag and the Animal Industry Board had been talking about who does the state licensed meat facility inspections. There's been discussions being had, and since I came on board, they've really gotten traction on how do we allow our local processors to export to our neighboring states. There's kind of, I consider, a silly federal law that requires, it's called CIS, Custom Inspection Service, where you need to meet federal guidance and federal guidelines and their process to go through and sell next door into neighboring states. Our existing state licensed meat facilities are already regulated under that standard, so it seemed kind of silly, but it's one of those things where we've met with the Animal Industry Board, Dr. Oda Coven, and garnered their support of let's move forward with this. So before the first of the year, we sent in, and I think actually around December 1st, sent in an application at requesting to become part of this CIS. So we are going to be able to, so our meat processors that want to be able to are going to be able to export to other states. without needing a federal inspection. So we think that just opens more doors. Realistically, looking at the backlog, it's probably not something that needs to happen today, probably doesn't need to be happening 6 months from now, i.e. Our processes are busy and they're backlogged for months and some years at a time. So, they're probably not looking at expanding markets on that side of things yet, but it's something that we want to move forward with and thinks it makes a ton of sense for our processors and for our producers and for our citizens. Why not open up some of those markets? If I'm in, Belle Fourche, why wouldn't I be able to sell to New Underwood or someplace right across the border in Wyoming? Just seems like a very common sense.
Yeah. How does it work if you are doing online sales? I'm thinking of the number of people across the country who are going to look for, buffalo meat from Wild Idea Buffalo and go to the website and see the buffalo there. There are farmers who are, able to market their practices around the country, aren't there? What do I not know about that I should know?
Yeah, certainly. It's certainly something that through federal inspection, it's already happening. State inspection, it will be allowed to happen. So we're not quite there yet, but we're hoping in the next few months that USDA go back to us with an approval. They told us 6 months to a year. So timing-wise, I'm hopeful that by May we'll have that approval and start the training of one of our inspectors so that opens that market. So that's kind of where we're at. Currently, if you're a custom marketer, an exempt, there are some legal ways to work around it. You can sell your animal and then the purchaser, and then the purchaser can direct and pay the processor directly on what they want for that meat and how it's processed to avoid some of that other hoops that are needed if you're going to sell direct different cuts of meat.
So we mentioned, I want to go back to this $5 million proposed grant program, and it needs to get through the state legislature. So for people who are looking to apply for this grant and are wondering, when do I need to be ready to get my application going? What do you see as a timeline for folks? What can you tell them?
So we're subject to the legislative approval, and it's a budget bill. So I'm hopeful that they'll move it through right away, but sometimes, those final budget discussions, they don't happen until the end of legislative session. So realistically, we're looking probably, March 10th, March 15th, sometime in there. The department, if things look good, we've already kind of worked on kind of some guidelines. What we will do is when that happens is we'll issue in a press release. We will have a web page that's ready to go that kind of explains the program and how it works. And we'll also send all of our state licensed meat facilities that meet our criteria, we'll send them a letter kind of directing them to the website and how the application process would work. Like the current bill we have has an emergency clause. So once it's signed by the governor, it becomes effective. So our hope is to, have a program by the end of March and be taking applications. So we want to get a lot of this money out relatively quickly so we can expand our processing capacity to help these processors. So that's kind of our timeline. It's subject to legislative approval. What we've heard from legislators has been very positive thus far. I did note when the governor gave her her budget address to the legislature, there was an applause when she mentioned this $5 million. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of our legislators know that need and understand that need, and they're going to be supportive of it.
Right. Lockers. Some of these lockers are backed up for several months, I am told, upwards to a year.
Several months means 18 plus from all the lockers I've talked to. I know I worked with a locker in Western South Dakota, and they told me that they're getting calls for 2023 and 2024 trying to schedule, and they're just, they don't know how real it is because it's so far out is what their concern is. But it's changed the regime of things. People are definitely looking to buy local.
Yeah. The ripple effects continue. Secretary Roberts, anything else you want to leave us with about the upcoming legislative session that you're also hoping legislators pay attention to from an ag and natural resources perspective? Just quick hits on anything?
Well, with the merger, we're going to talk to the legislature. We've been talking with producer groups. We've been talking with environmental groups about why we think it makes sense. We think we've made a good case for it. The efficiencies it saves, prevents some redundancies, makes it more of a one-stop for a lot of our ag community. So that's something we're going to be focused on is make sure we have their support, and we're very open and transparent with the way that process is rolled out. So that's certainly our number one priority. If I have some more time, I will say we're currently fundraising for the state fair building. We had a terrible fire in the end of October, and the governor proposed in her budget address $12 million to fund a $19 million facility. Of that, $4 million we're trying to raise from the private sector, so we're out having discussions with folks. Have been very positive, very exciting to see people excited, tell us stories about what they've experienced at the state fair and how this will play into the next generations at the fair.
Secretary Roberts, we appreciate your time. See you next time.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.